So are you ready? Good. Good to hear it. Well, towards the end, let's turn on our Bibles. We are traveling through the Bible. We've arrived at the New Testament book of 2 Peter. Turn to Peter's second letter to help you study. If perchance you don't have a Bible, we'd count it a privilege to give you one. Just raise your hand. Yeshua will pass the Bible over to you. If you need to keep that Bible, it's yours. There's no charge for it. They also have pencils for keeping notes. We always encourage that. But for all of us, let's turn to 2 Peter. We're still in chapter 1 this morning. As the Bibles are being passed out, just a reminder, as we come to this letter, Peter knows that he very shortly now will be going home to be with the Lord. He says so in the letter. And there's something very much on his heart. And that is that he has seen, as he looked around, he has seen that there are those coming along and will be coming along who are going to try to spread error. Heresy. And by the time we get to chapter 2, he's going to talk about those teachers who will come in with their false teachings. But before he gets there, he's going to hold forth that which is going to prepare them and us so we don't get tripped up by error. And that is truth, knowledge, not just head knowledge, but to heart know the Lord. The best defense against the counterfeit is to know the real. And so he's been talking about that. And this morning we continue along in these awesome words here of encouragement and warning. Now, as we come to our passage this morning, we're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting off at verse 8. We're going to begin at verse 8. Now, as I do that, I'd like to ask you to look for two words that are going to appear more than once in the verses we're going to look at. So let's see if you can spot those couple of words. They're going to be the lead-in for what we need to get out of this time together this morning. So we're in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, did you spot them? There were two words there, two words that are together. They're repeated three times in those verses. Anybody knows what the two words are? These things. These things appear here three times in our verses. In verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound. Verse 9, he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even the blindness. Verse 10, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. These things. What things? That's going to be an important question we're going to need to answer this morning. What things are these that if we do them or don't do them are going to determine such awesome, awesome things for us? Obviously, this is very important stuff, isn't it? But we better know. We better know what these things are that Peter's referring to. But more than that, to just understand what they are will really do us very little, if any, good. If all we do is leave here saying, okay, now I intellectually know what these things are that we're to be doing. Because as we see in verse 9, these things are yours and abound. If these things are yours and abound is the calling. We need to go to the next step. Yes, understand what they are, but we need to have these things be very much a truth that's going on in our lives. I've called our time together this morning based on that recurring phrase. I've called our time these things. Let's pray. Lord, as we now just bow our hearts before you, as we've come to this time, Lord, we recognize we've come to you, the creator of all, our creator. Hence, the one who made us and designed us, and the one who loves us, sending your son to die for us. And in that, for each one who's received, Lord, you begin a work. And Lord, this morning, as we look to your word, you want to speak to us as these things that need to be going on in each one of our lives. So Lord, we're praying. Challenge us, convict us, change us where it needs to happen, Lord, so that these things would be active in our lives. Help us, Lord, to leave here not just being hearers, but doers. How important it is that we be doers of what we're about to look at. So, Lord, lead us, we ask. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter opens this letter of warning, and that's what it is, as I said, a warning against error and all that's going to be coming along. He opens this letter of warning by pointing to the faith that we've obtained and what God has done for us because we've placed our faith, our trust in Him. Let's remind ourselves of the opening context here. Go to verse 1 for just a moment, where Peter says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtain like precious faith, if you receive Christ, that's you, with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so Peter began by speaking of this faith, this like precious faith, and what it's done in our lives, what it brought into our lives. So faith, saving faith, the same faith that Peter had, began this process by which God, through His divine power, has given us all things that we need for life and godliness. And how it's worked this work now, Him giving us His exceedingly great and precious promises, that through those we become partakers of the divine nature. What an awesome, awesome work this whole thing is. But now that brings us to these things that we're to have going on in our lives. Look at verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So here we see that faith, receiving of the Lord, brought into our life, this partaking of the divine nature. And that began a work where He wants to begin to mold us and shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. He loves us as He finds us, but He doesn't leave us as He finds us. He begins this awesome work. So as we grow in this divine nature, we're now provided a list to see how we're doing in the whole process. We see the things now that are to be going on in our lives if we indeed have this precious faith. So, a good litmus test to see where we stand with it, but not only that, but a very serious warning if we are not found in this list, if these things aren't going on in our lives. So let's consider now these things. In verse 8, He's going to say, if these things, this list are these things that are to mark every believer's life. Let God speak to us right now. I believe it's God's word. Hopefully you do too. It is His word. Yes, Peter's the one penning it, but it's God. And He's saying, this needs to be going on in your life. Indeed, not just going on, but it says they need to be ours and abounding, overflowing with them. So let's consider what these things are. Verse 5. But also for this reason, giving all diligence. Let's stop at that word for a moment because it's important. Give all diligence to this process. Make choices that line up with it. Live like this, He's saying. The word diligence here is a translation of a Greek word that means to make haste, to be eager, give diligence, to do one's best, to take care, to exert oneself. End quote. In short, we are to do all we can to make sure that these things are going on in our lives, that they mark our lives. So now that we see our part in this and the seriousness of it, let's consider what they are. There are 7 things we're told here to add, to supply, to have going on with our faith. Let's read them. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue here means an excellence springing from Him, God, working in us. That change of Him working in us. It's not just polishing up our human qualities, but rather it's Him producing divine qualities in us that make us more and more like Jesus. We are to look more and more like our Savior as He works this work in us. So we're to add to our faith, include, supply with our faith, this virtue. Next, to virtue knowledge. Now this word here, unlike another word for knowledge we'll look at in just a moment, this one means practical knowledge. It refers to the ability to handle life successfully. After that, it says to knowledge, what? We're to add self-control. The Greek word here was used of one who masters his desires and passions, especially his sensual appetites. Now don't misunderstand that. By sensual, I mean of the senses, fleshly appetites. That drive that too often wants to get in the driver's seat within us. But we're to not yield to those things. So not just what typically might be seen as sensual, but anything fleshly. The idea there are ourself. We're to bring that into control. And to that, perseverance. Make every effort to have perseverance, he's saying. Now, the actual word there that's translated perseverance means to remain under. And it means we're to remain under trials and the things we go through in a way that honors God. As we go through these things, we're to go through them understanding how God uses trials and sufferings in our lives to refine us and purify us. We're to go through these things not begrudgingly. Why don't you love me? Where are you, God? But understanding how He works through it all and that He works all things for good. I've heard it said here that self-control and perseverance could be said. It speaks of how we're to pressure external things that come along and the internal things that can rise up within us. Or another author said, it describes here this idea of perseverance and self-control. It's how to handle both the pleasures of life and the pressures of life. And that's what's to be going on here. We're to be doing it in this way. To perseverance, we're to add godliness. It means true reverence for God. Not just a show of it, not what we might put out to others, but what's actually going on, the place He holds in our lives. True reverence of God. It's from a word that means worship rightly directed. To godliness, we're to add brotherly kindness. Philadelphia. To have an affection for, to care for our Christian brothers and sisters. If we really understand these things, if they're going on in our lives, they won't stop at us. But we will love, actively seek to help, minister to, love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And then the last one, to brotherly kindness, add love. Now this one is agape. That word that captures God's unconditional love. The idea being is that as He's poured it out upon us, it's supposed to not stop at us, but pass on to others. He wants to do that. He wants to pour it out upon us and through us. And so there you have it. The list that Peter now is going to capture in the words, these things. Let God speak to us right now. Lord, am I in this list? At what place am I in all this process? Is this really going on? You see, it's very, very crucial because of what we're about to read. How can we know that we're growing in these ways? We now consider what Peter has to say next, and it is good, good stuff. We come back to our focus verses, verse 8. For if these things, those things he just listed, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things are yours and abound, not just a little bit, not just, you know, a couple weeks ago I did check on someone. I guess that's the brotherly love thing. No, continual, abounding, overflowing. If these things are going on in your life and they abound, then certain things will be happening. It says here, if they're going on, you'll be neither barren. Barren here might sound a little bit like the next word, unfruitful, but maybe it'd help us understand it better. The Greek word also means, I think even your NIV says idle. That's a good translation. You won't be idle or inactive. Or another way to put it would be you won't be ineffective. If these things are going on in your life, you will not be ineffective nor unfruitful in the Lord. And not just in the Lord, but what? In the knowledge of our Lord. And now here's that other Greek word for knowledge. The root word is gnosko. It means to not just head know, but experientially know. And here it's epignosko. It means full, mature knowledge rooted in an experiential. So, if I'm doing these things that will usher into my life this work by which I can know Him, not just head, but heart know, experientially know Him in the way He wants me to. We sing, Lord, I want to know You better. And then He in love would say, well, here's how. These are the ways how to know Me in the way that you want to, in the way that you need. Verse 9. What an important verse now. For here we see the opposite. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Verse 8 said what? If these things are yours and abound, verse 9 says, if you lack these things. See, there's the contrast. If you lack these things, this list, if it's not going on in your life and abounding, then there will be a certain effect upon you. And that is, it says, you are going to be short-sighted even to blindness. That's speaking, of course, about spiritual blindness. What a statement this is. If you aren't actively choosing to do these things, then your spiritual vision will be affected. If you are lacking knowledge, if you're lacking self-control, godliness, kindness, each of those things, the reason is because you are short-sighted. The result will be, and the reason being, it's you're going to be in one camp or the other. And if you're not, if those things aren't going on in your life and abounding, then you will be short-sighted even to blindness, spiritual blindness. Kathy and I have 5 grandchildren, 4 here, and the 5th is just about ready to make her debut. Our daughter's real close to giving birth. Well, this last summer, 3 of the grandkids were active in baseball, and so we made our way over to the Little League field off and on a Saturday or during the week and watched them play baseball. Now, as grandparents are apt to do, we took along our camera because we want to capture the memories and all and be able to look at those. So there are the kids out there on the field. Here we are in the bleachers or standing outside taking it in. Between us and them, that which we're there to see, there's a fence. There's a fence to protect us from foul balls and things like that. So here we are with our camera. We want to take a picture of the action. As the grandkids are up to bat or whatever, we want to take a picture of that. So here we are and the bleachers are standing there and we go to take a picture of the action, a fence between us and the action. What's the camera want to do? It wants to focus on the fence, right? It wants to focus on what's right in front of it. It doesn't know I'm trying to get a picture of our granddaughter or something there. It's trying to focus real hard on what's immediately in front of it. It's short-sighted in that way. And that's what so many Christians are like. They get focused on what's right in front of them. Our circumstance. The immediate. They focus on the temporal and not the eternal. They focus on that of the material, not the spiritual. They focus on the trial instead of God's provision. They focus on the situation instead of the bigness of God, the big picture. And they wonder why they struggle. Here's why. These things aren't going on, and therefore they are short-sighted. The word translated short-sighted there is a Greek word we get our word myopia from, short-sightedness. Can't see beyond, can't see out beyond something. And that's the idea there. That's the thing that Peter's trying to drive home. We're to give all diligence to have these things going on in our lives that we can see things God's way. But if these things aren't going on, then we will not be able to focus on it and they will seem overwhelming and we'll struggle with them. So what's the answer? I'm sitting there trying to get a picture. The fence keeps throwing the focus off. What do? You manually override it. You can tell the camera, no, I know there's a fence there, but I want to see beyond it. And you can focus in on what you're really trying to see. Our flesh will tell us, look at the fence. Look at the situation. Others would get us to do the same. Things we've gone through, our emotions, all those things say, you better focus on the circumstance. You better focus on the trial. And then what happens? Woe is me, where is God? All those things that come along with that. But I can have things going on in my life that are like the manual override. I can make choices to have these things going on that are going to prevent short-sightedness. I can begin to get the big picture. I can remember how God works. I can understand things here. And through that, I can know, experientially know Him in a way that I didn't know Him before. How crucial this is. And notice what He adds on. And you've forgotten that you were cleansed from your old sins. The person who's short-sighted has forgotten their BC days before Christ got hold of them. And you know what? I think that's a big reason for the apathy and the indifference that far too many Christians display. They've forgotten. Kind of gotten used to it. At first there was that rush of forgiveness and excitement and joy. God, you love me? You forgive me? But time goes on and we get used to it. And it's not that we actually forget it, but it doesn't have the impact anymore. It's not impacting our choices and our view. We become short-sighted. We start looking back at the immediate. We don't see the big picture anymore again. We've lost sight of it. What a sad thing. And you can't blame your situation and all on people or the circumstance. You will have tribulations in this world. But if you lack these things, you're going to struggle and wonder why. But we don't have to. God's showing us that He's within every believer and He's there to empower us, but we have our part. That's what He's saying. We need to add to our faith these things. We need to make choices and live in such a way that these things are active, abounding in our lives. And you will be in one of the other camps here. You'll be in verse 8 and 10 and 11, or you'll be in verse 9. You will experience a fruitfulness. You will experience this blessing. The things we're going to look at here in verse 10 and 11 also, they'll be yours if these things are going on. Or, if they're not going on, you will be unfruitful, ineffective. You will have spiritual short-sightedness, blindness going on. And wonder why you're struggling. Verse 10, therefore. Peter says, therefore, meaning based on that fact, that it's one way or the other, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, there's the words again, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. What an awesome verse. What an awesome promise. Therefore, meaning based on what was just said, what's he say? Be even more diligent. Sounds like he thinks it's pretty important. Be even more diligent. Make sure you work hard at doing this, he's saying. Do what? Make your call and election sure. Now let's be very clear about that phrase. This does not refer to that this is how you earn salvation or something. This isn't about earning salvation. It's not about how you keep your salvation through your works or something like that. It refers to living in such a way that reveals that you indeed do possess salvation. It would be better translated, quote, satisfy yourselves that you are saved, unquote. No, make no mistake about it. When Jesus comes into a life, there will be changes. And if there isn't, you should be greatly concerned about your spiritual state. And since he wants to make those changes, it's wise on our part to let him, to choose this process. And that's what these things is pointing to. And what's it say? For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Remember his concern? There were people that were coming along that were trying to trip them up. There were these false teachers coming with their error and heresy, and they were trying to trip them up. So he says, if you do these things, it won't work. They won't be able to trip you up in your walk. They won't be able to trip you up in your faith, because you'll experientially know the truth. You'll know the Lord in this way. It's so important, because today there are those who'd want to trip you up and dupe you and pull you aside. But if you do these things, their attempts to trip you up will not succeed. And verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was tempted to call our time together this morning, how to have a great entrance into heaven. Because that's what he's talking about here. What's he saying? He's saying, live these things, live like this here, and it will be like verse 11 when you get there. And that's what I want to hear. That's what I want to be a part of. So, are these things active in your life this morning? When you go out of here, what choices will you make? What will dictate your responses and all? What will we be about? Are these things, as verse 8 says, if there are, and abound, are they abounding, overflowing in our lives? How important are these things? Very, very crucial. Again, far too many believers are spiritually short-sighted. They let themselves get pulled into simply seeing what's right in front. The temporal, the material, the fleshly, the circumstance, the trial, whatever it might be. They don't have these things going on in their life. And they wonder why. Why do I struggle? Where's the Lord? I don't see what's going on. The Lord's saying, here's how. Here's the answer. Here's the reason why you're struggling. For all of us, the call is to continually give diligence, make haste, work at it. Continually give diligence that these things that he's outlined here, and Peter a number of times says these things, to make sure these things are indeed going on in our lives and that we abound in them. What's the result? We won't be barren. We won't be unfruitful. We'll have effective, fruitful lives. What's the result? In the knowledge, in the experiential knowledge of our Lord. What's the result? It'll show that we're saved. It confirms who we belong to. What's the result? It keeps us from being tripped up with error. What's the result? An entrance will be supplied for us abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That means there's a great going home up ahead for everybody who is doing these things. No wonder Peter says, so give all diligence to it. I can't do that for you. You can't do it for me. But together we're called to do it. Each one. He's there to empower and guide us. What choice will you make? Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, make sure Make sure that that's the case. May we all make sure that these things are ours, that they're abounding. I'm going to invite the worship team up to close us out. If you're in need of prayer this morning, we count it a privilege to pray for you. There'll be prayer partners right here by the prayer room. Perhaps something spoke to you. Perhaps you have some questions. Go find a prayer partner. They'd be glad to talk to you and pray with you. And for all of us, in love, the Lord says, now go be a doer. Let's go make sure these things are going on in our lives and abounding in our lives. Because if not, struggle, lack of fruit, spiritual blindness. We don't want that. Let's be found that in verse 8 and 10 and 11 there. Let's just make sure that they're going on and that they're abounding. Let's pray. Lord, we are continually struck by how much you love us. As we come to your word, we see once again how you love us. These words of Peter being your words to us, showing us how we can have fruitful lives, showing us how we can get the big picture, not be spiritually blind, showing us how we can have this journey in which we're not tripped up and we can arrive home to you with that abundant entrance and all that. Glorious homecoming that's going to happen, that homegoing for each believer. Lord, thank you. But it comes back to our choices. It comes back to our yieldedness every day. It comes back to where our focus is. Lord, help us. Help us to every day, just Lord, override. Help us to choose to see you, to see you at work. And Lord, help us to have these things be going on in our lives and abounding. All to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.